Hallelujah. I about flipped in my chair when I heard Harry exhort. It's like he was in the room today with me as I prepared tonight from Psalms 100 and Psalms 103. Almost like he was in the room hearing the dictation of the Holy Ghost to me about tonight. What a powerful exhortation. It's like he was in the room, hearing what the Holy Ghost was teaching me to teach you. Because our worship corporately, it must go to another level. And hopefully by the end of tonight's service, through the Psalms, we'll understand worship and praise just a little bit more. But I really heard Harry. Have you noticed that when there's a strong exhortation over worship, that it seems to increase a little bit? Can anybody say amen to that? There's a strong exhortation or an anointed exhortation like Harry's was. It stirs you up, man. More than Harry stirring us up, the Word of God's going to stir us up today with worship and praise. So hearing him made me come up here even quicker today to make sure that I teach what I was taught about worship and praise. I love what he said. I love what he said. I picked the brains of two worship leaders today, asking them questions. Jamie and Noelia in Texas, I picked their brains today. I'm not a worship leader. I can't sing. I don't. If I sing loud, you will leave the church. My buddy said that too. My buddy said that. He used to make the best ribs. I don't like them anymore. But I picked Jamie's brain and Noelia's brain, just asking them questions about worship, but exhortations, etc. I think you're really going to enjoy line upon line exhortation or teaching on Psalm 100 and Psalm 103. I think you really, 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 really are. I know I did. Understanding the Hebrew and what some of these words mean, and just, it's been there all this time for us to grasp it. This church is different because the gospel is about us and it's not about us. It's about us dying to us so that he could be seen. Many people don't want to hear that. That's why the church is empty a lot on Wednesday, because this, the gospel, it's not that we preach a different gospel, we preach the gospel. The gospel is about me and you dying to each other so that his life will be manifested. The true gospel is about self-denial. People don't like hearing that. If they did, they would be here. Until something happens, we're going to be probably little in number. But when the kingdom is manifested, it will take care of itself. If we continue the path of dying to self. Yes, sir. I want that path, man. I'll tell you this before we break. This year, I've made up my mind this year. My wife can testify. I've never pressed into prayer and fasting more than I have this year. Like never before. But he has fought me. He, being Satan, has fought me tooth and nail on my love walk. And I'm locking up more. Not because I have to. There's a passion inside of me. I think that I fast more than what I eat. But he has fought me on my love walk. He has fought me tooth and nail. But I win. Because I won't stop, man. Hearing about little Katana, what she's going through. There's just so much need and hurt in the body of Christ. All it takes is a few to make a difference. Male and female. Only takes a few. Housewife. Single. Husband. Single man. All it takes is a heart to surrender to the gospel, and things will happen. One verse is why we have a few here and why many don't come. One verse. I blame this one verse for just a few attending this church on Wednesdays. That's 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, as we also ought to lay down our life for the brethren. People don't like hearing that. Dying to self, self-denial is not a popular message. But John said, pertaining to the Christ, he said, hereby, that word perceive in the Greek is the word ginosko. Hereby ginosko we, the agape of God, is what he said. What he's saying is, this is how we could tell the agape that Christ walked in. And he defined the word ginosko in that passage. He said, hereby, ginosko we, the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. He being the Christ, he laid down his life for us, as we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So the love of God was seen and perceived and ginosko in Christ, because he laid down his life. And he laid down his life, and the agape God was seen. That's ginosko, because he chose to die so the words of Christ, the words of life, will be manifested. 1 John chapter 1. If the love of God was perceived in his life, because he died daily, should the same be said about me and you? It should be perceived in our life if we what? Die daily. Hereby ginosko me, we, the love of God in Vladi. Hereby ginosko we, the love of God in Anna. Hereby perceive we, the love of God in Christ, because Christ laid down his life for us, as we ought to also lay down our life for the brethren. If I lay down my life like Christ in humanity, guess what will be seen in me? Ginosko. The love of God will be seen in me. And in you. That one verse is why this church is empty. Because we preach, die to self. Die to self. It's not my wife's fault. It's not Miss Gay's fault. It's not Anna's fault. It's not Vladdy's fault. Everything goes back to us. It all falls on us. Everything falls on us. It is never your fault. We die so that the agape of God will be manifest. We die for one reason, for the katanas of this world. I lost a son last year. That hurt. But I didn't fall apart. It hurt. Me and my wife cry sometimes. I lost a grandson, a granddaughter. My wife held the baby in her arms, baby Genesis. All that didn't fall apart. We hurt, but it didn't fall apart. If you wake up and die to self, things won't surprise you. They're not fair, but they won't devastate you. They won't devastate you. John said, hereby genosco we the love of God, the agape of God. We see it because of this, because he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life so the love of God was seen. Now, Miss Gay, Marty, Ralph, you laid down your life for what reason? So the love of God can be seen in you. And when the agape of God is seen in you, kingdom will be manifest. And Katana won't need a permanent tube inside of her. She'll come to this little church and Anna will lay her hands on her. Or Miss Barbara will lay her hands on her. Say, Katana, I say to you, in Jesus' name. And it'll happen. Christ will work through us. Will we die? Will we esteem prayer more than recreation? Will we esteem our quiet times, our own personal Mount of Olives, more than our ministry? We esteem the Mount of Olives, our quiet time with God, as paramount in our life. I think those of you here agree with me because you're here. Hereby, John said, genosco we the love of God. We could tell the love of God in Christ. That man's different. Why? Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down, and we also ought to lay down our life for the brethren. My walk with Christ is not about me. It's about me dying to me so that he could be seen in me. Self-centeredness, self-seeking, hurts, betrayals, they don't exist in the kingdom. It's about us dying to us to bring him an everlasting glory. March with us, man. March with us. March with us. Amen. You can be seated. I just don't feel like stopping right now, so I'm sorry. Be real careful when you start uttering words like, Lord, I want to be as they that count all but dung. Be real careful when you ask the Father, Lord, take me all the way, Lord. Be careful when you utter Revelation 12:11. They were came by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life until the death. Be real careful if you utter that, because he will listen to you and he will come get you in the middle of the morning. He will come get you. It's been my call for months Lord, that I would count it all a dung, Lord. Make me that I would be as they that love not their life until their death. That's been my cry. And he's coming and he's getting me. My spirit tosses and turns, and I know it's time to get up because First John's working in me. Psalms is working in me. And I know it's him in the dream. He said, you want more of me, boy? I'm going to come get you. Let's see if you're serious. He drops these epistles in my spirit. And I toss and turn for 3 or 4 minutes, and I know it's time to get up. I don't care what time it is. I toss and turn 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and I get up. I said, Lord, I want to count it all as dung. I want to be as they that love not their life until the death. I've uttered it hundreds of times. And he's seeing if I'm for real. Because he comes and gets me. Stirring of the Holy Ghost inside my heart. So many say, well, I can't get up early in the morning. I need 8 or 9 hours of sleep. That's hogwash, man. That is hogwash. If you think you need that much sleep, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. If I get 5 hours and a good night, that's a lot for me. And grace sustains me, man. I love it. Well, I need 8 hours, 9 hours of sleep. I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you. I talked to one of my elders today. I'm not going to say who. And he agreed with me, basically. Because I go on 5 hours of sleep, too. Get up at 4 or 5 in the morning. If you're hungry, if you're really hungry, he'll come get you, and he'll give you the grace and sustain you, man. He will sustain you. Mamas, he will sustain you. Cry out if you want more. He will come get you. And it's glorious. It's glorious, man. Your heart, your spirit will toss and turn 2 or 3 minutes in the bed, and you'll know it's time. Jesus time. I texted some people today in Texas. I said, you talk about you want to see kingdom, but we must leave the ordinary. Ordinary won't allow us into kingdom. We have to live out of the ordinary. It's called discipleship. I doubt very seriously, I probably can't back this up every day, I doubt Christ slept 8 or 9 hours a day. I doubt that very seriously. Maybe I'm wrong. I just can't see him waking up saying, okay, guys, let's go. I had a good night's sleep. I don't see him saying that. It's not your ordinary church, man. This is not your ordinary church. We're not special. We just preach the gospel in its context. That's all we do. We preach kingdom. That's what we preach here. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 100, Psalms 103. regarding Harry's exhortation. It's like he heard me today. Psalm 100. I think it's a Psalm of David. I didn't read the superscription, but I think it's a Psalm of David. I think it is. Or the Sons of Korah. I don't know. One of the two. It doesn't matter. It's a good psalm. I'm going to quote the psalm to you, and I'm going to break it down to you, word for word, somewhat. He said, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. For God, he is the Lord. And he has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people. As for God, he is Lord. It is he that has made us. As for God, he is Lord. It is he who has made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Thank him and bless him, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth abounds to all generations. That psalm is filled. Four or five imperatives are in that psalm. An imperative is a command. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye people. Make a joyful noise is not a suggestion. It is an imperative. It's not multiple choice. We walk into this church with one mind. It's an imperative. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye people. Not a suggestion. Is dictation from the Holy Spirit to the psalmist and the psalmist to the family prayer center. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye people. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. For the Lord is God. It is he that has made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Another imperative. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Another imperative. Another commandment. More spiritual protocol. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Another imperative. But we've held it as an option. Harry, is Sarah in here or she's not in here? Good. I like the worship leader to hear. Is Robert in here? I want the worship leader to hear this. Please. It's an imperative. Poor Harry, worshiping his soul up there. And then for us to stay in the body doing nothing, that's got to be deflating somewhat. So I'm going to exhort you on the imperatives, a commandment, man. Make a joyful noise, the Lord, all ye land. Make a joyful noise is an imperative, man. It's a commandment. It is spiritual protocol. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come to his presence with singing. For the Lord, he is God. He has made us and not we ourselves. He has created us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are his people. He created us. He did. Why wouldn't we treat worship as an imperative? He created, he gave you Luke, Sarah. He kept a gun from me blowing off my head, point blank, point blank. How my head wasn't blown off, I don't know. But I will praise him. It's an imperative, man. Point blank, man. I know how an angel did it. We treated worship so passive. Well, I don't like the song. Well, this song's not about you. It's about him. Well, let's just sing songs that glorify you then. This is about you. Worship and praise is an imperative. It's spiritual protocol. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Imperative in the Hebrew, in the original. And into his courts with praise. Thank him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy, remember that verse, and his mercy is everlasting. And his mercy is everlasting. And his truth abounds to all generations. King James Version. By the way, I went back to King James. I went back to King James about a month ago. I had a King James CD in my closet. Didn't even know it was there. My wife said, by the way, honey, you got a King James in the closet? I said, no, I don't. I went back to King James, and I love it. And Dottie said, amen. And Anna said, amen. Right, Anna? Imperatives. It's an imperative. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Imperative. People during service are on their phones during worship, man. Well, like the song, well, it's not about you. It's not about you. Like, it's about him. It's about him that created you, man. You are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He gave you eternal life. You didn't give yourself eternal life. Point blank, point blank. Strung out on coke. I should have overdosed. Point blank, Sarah. Point metal to temple. This side. Metal to temple. Strung out on cocaine. We had a mound of cocaine on the table. Russian roulette. Boom. Somehow the bullet shaves all the back of my head and shatters my glass. I should have been dead. I should. You don't think I'm going to praise him? I would have been in hell, man. My wife said, walked in, what was I supposed to tell your daughter that those were your brains on the floor? I'm going to worship him, man. Make a joyful noise, all ye land. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. If you don't make a joyful noise to the Lord, you won't serve him with gladness. You with me? Come into his presence with singing. For the Lord, he is God. He has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Thank him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy Oh, his mercy is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. Take me, Lord. That would count it always dumb. Come get me this morning. Come get me. I'll hear you and I'll get up. Come get me. That would be as they that love not their life until the death. Come get me, Lord. Come get me. Enter into his courts, into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Thank him and bless his name. For his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. That's Psalms 100. Five imperatives. Commands, like Harry said. Imperatives. Make a joyful noise. It's good when Harry exhorts, but he shouldn't have to. It's good that he does, but he shouldn't have to. After hearing this teaching tonight, maybe we'll know what an imperative is when it comes to worship and praise. Remember that one verse? I've been in Psalms 15, godly conduct. Psalms 100, godly worship. Psalms 103, the mercy of God. I've meditated all three of them at the same. I've been in Psalms for 3 weeks. All kind of different Psalms. And I don't know how. I don't know why. But they're just sticking to me. Without trying to memorize them, they're just attaching themselves to my soul. And they're just coming out. I don't sit there and try to memorize any of them. They're just stuck in me. It's like an adhesive. I don't know how. Psalm 15, godly conduct. Psalm 100, godly worship. Psalm 103, the mercy of God. Psalm 105, imperatives. And we're going to be on our cell phone during worship, man. When it's an imperative, when it's spiritual, godly protocol to the man who created us, to the God that created us. But we don't like the song, so we're going to sit down. When it's an imperative, five imperatives in Psalms 100. Psalm 103, remember what I quoted in Psalm 100, and his mercy is everlasting. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and through his courts with praise. Thank him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. Remember that. Mercy is everlasting. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I bet you 10 bucks you won't guess what that word bless is. What is it? An imperative. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Three times use the word bless. An imperative. Three times. A verb in the Hebrew. An imperative. Bless the Lord, Homer. You don't feel like it today? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord again, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In the context of verse 1 of 103, how do I bless him? By what? I just gave you the answer. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Or it could be said, and forget not all that he's done for you. Bless the Lord, Miss Anna, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So how do I bless the Lord? By not forgetting what he's done for me. The context of 103. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Whew. Thank God. Who healeth all our diseases. Side note, tangent. We have no problem in the church. I heard there's 200 different denominations in the United States. And every denomination is right. Every one of them. But there ain't but one Holy Ghost. And there's 200 different, at least, denominations. The church can agree that he forgives what? Our sin. Our iniquities. We have no problem saying that. But that word, he forgives, he forgiveth all our iniquities, is in the perfect tense. With ongoing results. Who forgives all our iniquities. Perfect tense. Who healeth all our diseases. That word healeth in the perfect tense. He did it. Now we'll argue that he forgives us. Then we'll argue that it's not his will to heal us. But the word healeth is in the perfect tense. So if he doesn't, if it's not his will to heal me, then how do you know he forgave you your iniquities? You can't have one or two, man. It's both. They're both in the perfect tense. He forgiveth all our iniquities. He healeth all our diseases. The perfect tense. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What is his benefit? He healeth all your diseases. Satan has done a great job when we hold what we go through as a trophy. We live so much in emotional disarray that we default, not even knowing that we're in default. You with me on that? Our default is what we're going through. And we default to that. I've been guilty of it. That must be the way of kingdom. For me to go through what I'm going through. We don't even know that we're in default because we've been in default for so long, man. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget that all that he's done for you. What's he done for you, Homer? He forgave all my iniquities. What else has he done, Homer? He's healed all my diseases in the perfect tense. He's done it. Now I got to believe it. Well, it's not God's will to heal you, Homer. It might be, it might not. That's not what the Bible says, dummy. Who healeth, perfect tense, all your diseases. So my default can't be what I'm going through. My default must be, no. He healeth all my diseases. Even when I don't feel healed. Even when I feel pain. My default has to be his benefits. My default has to be what he's done for me. Who healeth all my diseases. Perfect tense. Forgiveth all our iniquities. Perfect tense and ongoing. To bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits. You bless the Lord by not forgetting what he's done for you. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed. Like the eagles. What do you mean he satisfied our mouth with good things? Verse 2. He forgave all our iniquities. He healeth all our diseases in the context of Psalm 103. Our mouth is satisfied because he forgives us all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He satisfied that mouth with good things so that your youth, Sarah, so that your youth, Homer, is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness on all that are oppressed. He satisfies your mouth with good things. What's the good things that he satisfies our mouth with? You're forgiven. You're healed. You're redeemed. He permanently crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. For the context, those are the good things that we put in our mouth when we repeat what Almighty God has done for us. When we give him praise, we don't feel like it. We give him praise, Lord. You forgave all my iniquities, Father. You healed all my diseases. That is the perfect tense, Jesus. You did it. You redeemed my life from destruction. You crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercy. You satisfied my mouth with good things. What good things did you satisfy my mouth with? You're forgiven. You're healed. And you're redeemed. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What's his benefits? You've been forgiven. You've been healed. You've been redeemed. You've been crowned with loving kindness and tender mercy. Those are his benefits. They must be put in our mouth. Our soul must bless the Lord when we remind him and tell him of what he's done for us. Another tangent. Yesterday I went to dialysis and the social worker came to me. I told you wrong. It's not the doctor that comes to me in dialysis and tell me about my kidney, it's a social worker. So she came yesterday. But I had heard the message for Sunday, Harry's worship, everything. It was real good. And then I heard the whole service from Sunday in dialysis yesterday. And then I went to hear Jeff, what was the name of that comedian, that Christian comedian, Foxworthy? He got some good Christian comedy. So I went to Jeff Foxworthy. The social worker, I got some big old beats and I just jam out, hear the word, and she hits my leg. Hey, I said, hey. You know, I was funny with her too, because I know. And they got the same questions every single month. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. You know. Are you still preaching? They got all the answers. You still preaching? Do you still hear worship music? Do you still work out? I said, yeah, I still do. Why haven't you got a kidney transplant? I said, I just don't want one. Can I ask why? I said, yeah, I'm going to believe God for a miracle. I'm going to live believing God for a miracle, or I'll die believing God for a miracle. She said, I can respect that. So then she went on to say, because they know that they're not being nosy. They're just trying to make sure you're not in depression or you're not suicidal, because they want to help the best they can. The next question was, and I was comical. I was hearing Jeff Foxworthy, you know. I was laughing out loud. People thought I was crazy. He had some funny jokes, man. Oh, my gosh. And then she said, are you depressed? She knows my answer. No, ma'am. And I started laughing. She said, do you ever feel like you don't deserve to live? I said, no, ma'am, I'm not going to die. I got a good-looking wife with big thighs. That's what I told her. I said, oh, I got a good-looking wife with big thighs, and I got a life insurance. I ain't going to die and have another man take my money and my wife. No, I'm not dying. No. She's 55, and she's beautiful, and she's got big thighs, and I love her. I said, I'm not dying. And I think the whole room heard me. They started laughing. I just was coming on for a reason. I said, I got life insurance. If I die, she ain't going to remarry somebody going to take my money and my wife. No, I'm not dying, ma'am. I'm going to be all right. And she couldn't stop laughing. So I was comical, and I blamed Jeff Foxworthy for that. But I don't know why I said that. The Lord, I just want to have a sense of humor with her. I want her to know the fear don't got me. If I fall short, Sarah, I'm going to fall short in faith. I'm going to fall short in love with God, believing for my miracle. I won't die in misery, Miss Gay. I won't die depressed. If I go, I'll die in faith, Hebrews 11. I'll die striving for my miracle. I will die in peace. But I ain't going to die. Because I got life insurance. And a good-looking wife, I ain't going to die. Who satisfies thy mouth, Sarah, with good things. What are the good things he satisfied my mouth with, Sarah? All your iniquities are forgiven. Sarah, he healeth all your diseases. Perfect tense. Sarah, he redeemeth your life from destruction. Sarah, he crowneth you with loving kindness and tender mercies. What we're going through cannot be our default, man. His benefits have to be our default. That's why I said what I said. I'm not dying, man. I'm not dying. She said, I can respect that. She said, do you still have an appetite? I said, oh, when I eat, sister, I eat. Remember the verse from Psalm 100? The Lord is merciful. I think verse 5 of 103. The Lord executes righteousness on all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. In other words, he has an abundant mercy. But verse 17 and 18 are vital. What time is it? Anybody? Anybody got the time? Oh, gosh. Verse 17 and 18 of 103. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Imperative. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits or all that he's done for you, Ms. Gay. Don't forget it. How? By saying what he did for you. You don't feel healed? Don't default to what you feel. Default to what he's done. That's why I could laugh when she told me, do you ever feel like not living? I said, oh, no. I always feel like living. And a matter of fact, man, I'm going to go home and eat like a pig. I'm starving. She couldn't stop laughing. He comes and gets me, man, in the morning. And because I let him come get me in the morning, I can walk in peace. I can walk in peace, Miss Anna. I can walk in peace. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Verse 17. Remember these words. Remember what I said in Psalm 100? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Thank him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is what? Everlasting. Remember that. Psalm 100. Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18 of 103. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those that fear him. The word fear in the Hebrew means to those that reverence him. Now, mercy isn't available to all, only if you reverence him. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, even upon those that keep his covenant and to those remember His commandments, those who remember His commandments to do them. The mercy of the Lord, verse 17, is from everlasting to everlasting upon those that fear Him. Well, what's the mercy of the Lord? He forgiveth all your iniquities. The mercy of the Lord is Sarah, Homer. He healeth all your diseases. Homer, Sarah, Rosie. He redeemeth your soul from destruction. That's His everlasting mercy. Homer, Marty, Rex. He crowned thee with loving kindness and tenderness. That's His everlasting mercy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What are His benefits? In the context of the psalm, He forgives all your iniquities. He healeth, perfect tense, all your diseases. He did it already. So if He did it, what must I put in my mouth? What He did for me already. My default can't be what I'm going through, man. My default must be what He did through mercy and grace. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those that fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children upon those that keep His covenant and those who remember His commandments to do them. We must put His benefits in our mouth and bless Him for what He's done. Bless is an imperative. Put His benefits in your mouth and raise up your voice and tell Him what He's done for you. Are you with me? It is an imperative. Harry, Sarah, Robert, if ever you got an exhortation during worship, let it rip, man. Let it rip. What you shared earlier, Harry, was so anointed. Let it rip. Jamie said today, I talked to her, she said it's vital that worship leaders know their word. It's vital that Sunday school teachers know their word. I think it's vital that a preacher knows his word too. It's an imperative, man. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you feel like it. It, in the Hebrew, is a verb. It is an imperative. Verse 17 again, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those that fear Him. Those that fear Him keep His word. Those that fear Him, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, hereby perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, so we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, are those that are laying down their life, man. His righteousness to children's children, upon those that keep His covenant and those who remember His commandments to do them. Forgiveth all your iniquities. Perfect tense. Who healeth all your diseases. Perfect tense. Well, we don't think He heals all. Well, then how do you know He forgives all? If you don't heal all, then how do you know He forgives all? If you don't heal all, then He don't forgive all. Come on, man. Which one is it? No, no. He forgives all and He heals all. That's not Homer. That's not the Family Prayer Center. That's not Pastor Bronk. That's the psalmist taking dictation from the Holy Spirit. It's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Mexicanos were real famous in saying, "Ay, mijito, si Dios quiere. If God willing, he'll heal you. Si Dios quiere. No, si quiere." He does want to. He does. He did two already. He did it. I gotta put his benefits in my mouth and believe him. Don't speak the default. Homer, don't speak the default. Sarah, don't speak the default. Speak his benefits. Renee Plamondon, don't speak the default over baby Katanya. Speak the end result, Renee. Grandma, Miss Gay, which I know you do. Grandpa Marty, speak the end result. I got to give two friends of mine credit, Mr. Vladi and Anna. They've taught me a lot. They always have good confessions all the time, and they've taught me a lot. But the Bible's taught me more. Psalm 15, closing down. It's a psalm of godly conduct. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. He that speaketh the truth in his heart. He that speaketh the truth in his heart. Either you don't know the truth or you know it, but you don't feel like speaking it because you're going to give yourself to a default. Who speaketh the truth in his heart. Psalms 103, this is truth. He healeth all thine diseases. Who speaketh the truth in his heart, that's the truth. Psalms 103 is the truth. Who backbiteth not with his tongue, doeth evil to his neighbor. Who taketh a reproach, who does not take a reproach up against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he reverences those that fear him. Here's one that the body of Christ struggles with. Who sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. Who sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. If you say something, man, do it. You swear it. We exaggerate too much in the body of Christ. We exaggerate way too much with innocence, but it is an exaggeration. He who sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. If you said it, you honor it. If you lied, fix it. If you exaggerated, fix it. If you got to go back on the phone, or I exaggerated. I didn't mean to. Here's the truth. So many exaggerations in the body of Christ. God is light, 1 John, and in him is no darkness at all. If we see we have fellowship with him, you know the rest. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. Don't exaggerate. Don't lie to people. So many Christians, I tell you, I can't tell if they lie. We default so much. We default to, I'm too busy. This or that. We speak the default too much instead of speaking the end result. I'll call you later. That call never comes. I was busy. You might have been. But tell the truth, man. Say, I didn't feel like talking. Don't lie. Who sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. Be honest. Be honest. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, do it. And if you don't do it, tell them why you didn't do it and be honest. Even if it embarrasses you. That's the gospel. That's the old covenant principles. Macro. He that speaketh the truth in his heart. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. Integrity is in our spiritual DNA, man. It's in there. How we do and what we say. Gary said to me last week, if you live kingdom and don't speak kingdom, you're not living kingdom. Faith without works is dead. Our mouth has to line up with kingdom. Amen. So Harry's rotation was perfect. It's like he heard what I said today. Worship and praise is an imperative. Five times in Psalm 100, he used an imperative. Three times in Psalm 103, he didn't use suggestions. He used an imperative. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Your speech will sound like this, Delma. Lord, I thank you. You open up my eyes, Father. I thank you. I'll see my daughter march down when she graduates college. I'll see her, Lord. Like Pastor Brown said, I'll set up a parable within me. I'll see my daughter shining as she walks down the altar and gets married. I'll see it, Lord. I'll see it. I'll see Yadira march down college night when she gets her master's degree. I'll see it, Lord. Why? Because your word says that by your stripes I am healed. Your word says that you healed them all our diseases. That is my default. That is my default. Not religion, not denomination, the word of God, his benefits must be our spiritual default. Not what we are going through. We have to learn to allow his benefits to be our spiritual default. Five times, Harry, remember this Sunday. Get on to everybody on Sunday. Hey, it's a commandment, not a suggestion. Get up and worship. I'm just playing. Unless you want to. And then just tell the Pastor Bonto you to say it. Are you with me? That's what the Lord has been showing me through the book of Psalms. I think I'm done with Psalms. I think. I've been there 3 weeks. I think Hebrews is my next time of gazing in the pasture, the book of Hebrews. But I've been taught a lot through the book of Psalms. What time is anybody? Oh, God, yeah. The Lord's been teaching me a lot in the book of Psalms. Teaching me, correcting me, edifying me. Worship and praise is an imperative. Robert, Bailey, I don't know if Bailey's here today, Sarah, Harry, when you feel the unction to exhort, exhort, man. We preach the same thing on Sunday and Wednesday. We exhort the same thing over and over again. If you got to exhort on worship Sunday, exhort. Tell the people, you treat it as a suggestion. But in the original Hebrew, you can sound real sophisticated, Harry, but in the original Hebrew, it's an imperative. Amen? Stand with me, please. We have a good time tonight? All right. It's an imperative, Sarah, Harry, Robert, Bailey. It's an imperative. Vladiana, thank you for teaching us about confession. I owe you guys that. Marty and Gay, thank you. Teach us how to be servants. Pastor Bronco, Miss Candy, thank you. being great followers of Jesus Christ. Ms. Delia, for your persistence, you're losing her husband, and don't miss a lick. Ms. Barbara Unlin lost her husband. She hadn't missed a lick. Ms. Rowley, put up with me for all these years. Thank you. I ain't going nowhere, baby. Ain't nobody touching my life insurance. And you're my wife. And I love your thighs. We're going to be here. I'm going to be yours forever, baby. That's a good answer. It's a real good answer. Father, we bless you. We love you and we glorify you, Father. I thank you that you would give us the grace and understanding, Father, to treat worship and praise as spiritual protocols and imperative, Father. Because you have made us and not we ourselves. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. You created us. We're born again through your grace and love, Father. We owe you our life. Give us grace to enter into your presence, Father, to lay it all down, the baby katanas of the world and those that need a touch from heaven, Father. We're no one, Lord. It's you that worked through us. You worked through us, Father. We will finish our course and speak the end result. Your benefits are end result. Father, I bless you and I praise you. By the way, Pastor Brock's not here today because Miss Candy had a procedure the other day. She's well at home, but all is well. He'll be back Sunday. So love you and praise you and thank you all. And I hope you enjoyed the word. Amen. Harry, are your fingers numb? Oh, you weren't up there?
Yeah, I'm playing the recording.
Oh, God.